Rolling. Gonna keep those doggies rolling. Because it's the news, according to me. Yeah, 7.07 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. August 17th, 2026, Monday. Mishmash Monday coming at you here. We have Boogie on in the door. We got interesting stuff happening we're going to talk about today. And yes, I'm on vacation for about the next month. I've got about 4 weeks of vacation here. And why am I still here? I'm here because of you, my listeners. I'm just here because of you. I fly on this one airline all the time. There's one thing they always say at the beginning of their little speech, like a little recorded thing that they got, you know, they play for everybody. Welcome to Such and Such Airlines. Blah, 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 blah. We're here for one reason. And I always want to scream out, money. And they say, you. We're here for your safety and all this other stuff. Yeah, that's not what the board members think. How can we serve people better? No, it's majority of their meeting, I guarantee you, is how can we make more money? How can we outdo our competition? What's my bottom dollar? How can we squeeze more blood out of this turnip? I need to exercise my face a little bit this morning. Anyway, got the collars all warmed up. The old bots are all spun up and ready to go. Because some interesting things will probably be happening, hopefully, this week with the bots. I'm going to be finishing up that the podcast caller app, and we're going to be launching the podcast caller show, which is the podcast about the podcast caller. And so it's just going to be doing that. By the way, this show is not, if this is your first time listening or not, maybe you just didn't pay attention. This show is brought to you by me, but however, I've created an app called the podcast caller, and I use it extensively through the show. I don't know what's going on with my chai does something weird. Anyway, that's happening. There's a little thing we're running through beta testing right now. We're me and the agents. We're running this thing called the panel discussion thing. It's got a few glitches. It hesitates a little bit here and there. I kind of like the way it's kind of fun to operate it. Sometimes it's kind of funny, actually. But I wasn't able to use it over on the traveling group. I wasn't able to take the group with me to do the panel discussions in my hotel room. By the way, the trip I took this last week, I got in yesterday, or much earlier than expected. I was supposed to be home late in the afternoon, early evening. I ended up getting home basically just after noon. I actually went to the boat and worked on it for a while. I got done yesterday morning at 7 o'clock in Chicago. Got back into Chicago. I was up in, where was I? I was in Appleton, Wisconsin. And I ended up in, the first night I ended up in someplace other than where I was supposed to end up. Baltimore. I was supposed to be in Norfolk. I ended up in Baltimore. The next night, I didn't know where I was going to be. I landed and found out I was going to go to, I landed back in Chicago and found out I was going to Chattanooga. I thought I was going to end up in Champaign, Illinois, according to the plan before I took off. By the time I landed in Chicago, they said, you're going to be in Chattanooga tonight. Got in there fairly early, not early enough to really do anything, but then had to leave out of there pretty early in the morning to get back to Chicago with supposedly going to be done. I was supposed to be done other than something I had to come back in Sunday to do. But this was Saturday morning. I thought I was going to go home. I was going to go home until Saturday morning until Sunday afternoon. And then they decided they were going to do something else with me. They're going to send me some. I can't remember. They changed it a couple times. We're changing me around a couple times. I ended up going up to Appleton fairly early in the day. I got up there, I think around noon, or before noon, actually. And then I ended up leaving out of there the next morning early, super early. It was 5 o'clock in the morning or something. Took off out of there, got into Chicago, and then I just came home. That's what I did. I just came home. That was all. So that's exciting. Anyway, the week ahead of us, so there'll be probably a show almost every day. There's one, a Friday morning might be a little bit difficult. I'm not sure if I'm going to be on the boat. We're not going to be on the boat till Friday afternoon, I think is when it is. Maybe Saturday, Friday afternoon, I think it is. Or maybe Saturday. I can't remember when we're going up to the boat. I'm going to be on the boat most of the weekend. In fact, the next few weekends, I'm going to be on the boat. So, and then, of course, Labor Day weekend, got to do all that. So, yeah, that's the rundown. But, yeah, we'll have Mishmash Monday today, Technical Tuesday tomorrow, Technology Tuesday. Then we have Wishy-Washy Wednesday, and then Theological Thursday, and then Financial Friday. It'll all be this week, probably from the home studio. I'm hoping to have, I'm starting this transition thing where I'm going to have, so some of these podcasts I'm going to be introducing now are going to have to be video podcasts. Or at least screenshot podcasts. And so I'm going to be doing those probably. However, I might have my agents work on an actual app that works on my Apple products here, my Macintosh products. I've got something called vMix that I use, but it only operates on, as far as I know, unless they've got an update on it, they've only operated on Windows systems. And so I don't know that I can use it. I really like the way it works. I like the way it operates. You can do a live broadcasting with all kinds of different scenes and all kinds of things you can do with it. It's very, very flexible. And the features it has, you can even use your phone as a remote camera. You can do all kinds of things with it. It's got all kinds of linking possibilities. And I might just have him clone that software and make it usable, just basically all the same functions, make it usable on my Mac. I might just do that this week. And if it works really well, guess what? I'm going to start selling it. That's the way I do things around here. I make something. If it works, you know, 10 years later, I try to sell it after it's not, you know, really worth anything. Anyway, that's just the way I roll. What do we got going on here? I got to figure out. I usually do some more music stuff here. I've got. I'm gonna start at the top on the left here. I guess you don't know what that means, but that's what I'm doing. Anyway, I got Chai with Almond Joy Creamer, and I've got my backup cup here with it is sweet peach tea, and I have to say. It's pretty good. It's getting kind of borderline. I've got quite a bit. I'm probably going to drink it all today. What's left in the gallon jug? Because I got to get some more fresh sweet peach tea made tomorrow. Hopefully we've got some fresh peaches still somewhere because it seems like it works better. I'm not complaining if I have to use frozen ones. Either way, it's got my sweet peach tea is pretty good. It's homemade stuff. The phony stuff is not, they use some kind of a peach mix or something. I don't know what they do, but it's just a peach flavor that they put into it. And some of them is good. Some of them are good and some of them are not. Slim Chickens has some good stuff. I got some good sweet peach tea, typically, if they make it right. It all depends on who's working that day. There's no Slim Chickens around where I live, but they are occasionally in some of the places where I travel. Arkansas, especially, is kind of big on Slim Chickens. But Raising Cane's, I don't think they do. They got pretty good sweet tea, but not sweet peach tea. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Let's go to this little ditty, and then we're gonna get into the callers and see what they have to say. So right after this little, probably loud, there we go.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby,
baby, that's all I know.
These are my opinions, not the gospel truth.
Entertainment only,
so don't go calling up your news crew.
I might say something that sounds real official-like, and sure, I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that,
hey, come back, I'll entertain you.
It's supposed to do that thought. I'm supposed to do that thing at the end. I didn't do that. Hey, we're back. What do we got going on here? Let's just. Today's Mishmash Monday. If you don't know what that is, Mishmash Monday is basically it's a mishmash of things that whatever happened over the weekend. Plus, just the bots have questions, and they don't. I don't come up with the questions anymore. The bots come up with the questions now. They do some research and they do their thing, I don't always know what they're going to ask. I have no idea typically what they're going to ask. And it's kind of interesting. I just kind of run through it. I kind of wish they would just kind of randomly call occasionally. They're supposed to pop up on the screen. If I say a certain thing, they're supposed to have certain keywords that light them up. I don't see any. Nobody's lighting up this morning. So I'm not sure what to do. I think I'm just going to start with Chloe this morning. It's just kind of random. I don't know who to start with. But anyway, Mishmash Monday is just, it's kind of the way the show used to be all the time. I just talk about whatever. Sometimes I would just push the record button and start talking. I didn't know what I was going to say, which is still kind of that way. I got to get a different chair. This chair's got this rattle thing going on in it. If I bounce around in my chair here at all, which I do all the time, I bounce around a lot. I don't know why. They used to call me Bouncy Kevin. Nobody ever called me Bouncy Kevin. They call me a lot of other names, but that was one of them. Let's just go here. Let's go to Chloe. She's the trend watcher. She watches trends. She didn't even light up when I said that. There's something. We'll see. We're going to see if this. Oh, Elena. Elena, actually. Nope. She just went away. Said her name. She actually went away. Oh, well. Oh, she popped it back up again. Let's go to. I'm going to go to Elena and see what she has to say here. Here she is.
Hey, Kevin. Appreciate your perspective, as always.
Of course you do. Yeah.
This former ABC correspondent finally admitting the network is liberal and nobody voted for Trump reminds me of the media bias exposed during Watergate.
Mm.
Except back then, journalists at least pretended to be objective. How did we go from trust but verify to networks openly admitting they operate in ideological bubbles? What's the historical precedent for this kind of media monopoly collapse?
Precedent. Well, it's interesting. Interesting question. They're kind of admitting something we all, well, anybody who was paying attention, we knew this was going on. We knew that the media, the legacy media, has been generally slanted left to the left. They've been, Democrat for a long time. Most of them. I mean, look where a lot of the anchor people, some of the people they've come from the administrations of previous, left-wing presidents. I mean, you look at it, the Bill Clinton era, Stephanopoulos, all these people who've become commentators and have their own shows now are people who've been, predominantly from the left, administrations from the left. And they're pretty much on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, whatever. So we kind of knew it. If you're paying attention, you could see this kind of thing, and you can tell the bias. However, because there is bias now, Walter Cronkite was actually an extreme left. Now there's also a bigger difference here now as well. But Walter Cronkite was definitely a left leaning. He was a Democrat. There's no question about that. However, the party, the Democrat Party, has changed a lot, too. So there's a dynamic here that we have to get into, have to talk about, which is the fact that the Democrat Party is so much different now than it was in terms of the ideological differences between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. In fact, it's gotten so far, so radical now, there are some key leading Democrat folks that are bailing and actually calling it out. Hakeem Jeffries is trying to do that right now. Yes, I saw a little report from him yesterday. Kind of made big news because he was trying to just kind of slap down the, I would call it slap down. He's trying to push back on the DSA, which, how do they have another organization within their organization and think that's not going to cause a problem? We're a big tent. In other words, they need everybody they can get in their tent. It's not that they're a big tent. It's just that they need whatever they can get in their tent. That's the big issue there. But so I think the differences now are so much more stark. I think that, you know, back in the day when Walter Cronkite was the guy, he was still a pretty much patriotic, believed in America, believed in the American way. He was more of a fair and kind of balanced individual in terms of his ability to be, at least, he could be critical, but at the same time, he understood the responsibility he had to be critical of both sides. I'm sure that there was a lot of very careful spin put on different stories before we even realized that was happening. But he had the trust of the nation, and it was because he was able to, for the most part, I think, see past. Everybody has their blind spot bias type thing, but he was able to see past most of his leanings. And the leanings weren't that different. The differences between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party weren't that different. And we had policy differences. We had different ways of getting to the same place. Now we have a totally different place that they're trying to take us. They want to destroy the Republic. They want to get rid of it. It is, back then capitalism was something that everybody accepted that was because we saw the stark difference between capitalism and communism back when, during the Cold War and everything that was going on with Russia and everything that happened within. And there was, this you have to remember, the wall was still up. The East and West Berlin Wall was still up back then. And it was a very stark difference. People were risking their lives to bail out of that place. Nobody was trying to get back into Berlin, into East Berlin. It was only one direction. And they would shoot you if you tried to get out. That's called a prison when they do that kind of thing. So it's an interesting dynamic that things have changed, but it is interesting that they've actually come openly now, starting to express it and explain it and actually talk about it openly. I'm not sure what the angle is with that. I'm sure there is one, but because there always is. It's everything's always perspective and optics, but we'll see how that goes. I'll let you talk. I've been talking way too much. I'm going to take a sip. You go ahead and take a little tap.
You're touching on something real there. That Berlin Wall comparison hits hard because it was the ultimate test of a system, wasn't it?
Yeah.
People risking bullets to escape tells you everything about where the power actually lay. What's different now is the ideological clarity has collapsed on one side. Back then, both parties understood capitalism as the baseline, even if they disagreed on the edges.
That's all you got to say. I guess that's it. I thought you were going to talk a lot longer. I'm glad you agree with me. That's pretty much all you did there. Didn't say much else. I said a whole lot. Yes, it didn't. Maybe I didn't say much. Maybe I just talked a lot and didn't say anything. Didn't give her much to respond to. We're going to move on then. We're just going to move on. I'm going to hang up on Elena. Let's go to Chloe. Let's go to the other gal in the room, or on the board, on the calling board. She's not actually here. She's in the calling board. We're going to go back to. Let's see what Chloe has to say. Hi, Chloe. How are you doing this morning?
Kevin, did you see the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese overtime game this weekend? And now WNBA fans are literally banning Sophie Cunningham's name on Reddit just for defending women's sports. When did sports fans become the thought police? This is getting ridiculous and honestly kind of scary.
Well, Yeah, there's why it. You know, she came out and made her statements known about. They have to make. They have to. You talk about being the party or the side or whatever it is that creates division and not unity. The left, if you say anything against any of their ideology, they're the ones that bring about the cancel culture, the immediate dismissal of anything that they can't. If you don't agree with one issue, then you're wrong on all the issues and you're just all wrong. You need to be cast out of society and you know, deplatformed, you know, whatever. You need to be fired and shunned into oblivion. You need to be shunned out of the city, into the wilderness you go. I don't know. It's it's kind of a... I get really tired of it, but because she didn't say anything derogatory towards trans folks or anything else, and these guys who are talking about making themselves eligible for the WNBA, I love it because it's kind of sticking it in their face, and it's proving her point. It's like what are we doing here? We don't want men in the women's locker room. All she said was, "We don't want men in the women's locker room. We don't want, you know, women getting hurt on the court because there's some guy, 6'10" guy out here that's running around knocking everybody down," which is what happens typically in these kinds of sports. That when this happens, and yet they vilify her for it. You know, even though she's, I tell you, Sophie Cunningham and. Caitlin Clark, they've done more. Is it Caitlin Clark? Is that her name? I think it is. Yeah, Caitlin something. Anyway, I think it's Caitlin. I should know what it is, but there's, yeah. It's Clark. They've done more to bring about awareness. If nobody would know anything about the WNBA if it wasn't for those two. And I guess there was a game recently after all this kind of stuff kind of went down, especially after they stopped, you know, the referees were very biased about some of the calls they were making. They had like less than 200 people show up at a game recently. And it was, you can't, that's the kind of thing where you can't ticket prices, you can't give the tickets away, basically. That's what it amounts to. They can't make it on their own. This is kind of like the women's soccer team. After the guys... What was it? I think after the World Cup, they wanted half of the guy. I think they had some winnings or something along the way or whatever it was. They wanted half what the guys made. Rapinoe or whatever her name was came out and said that you guys have to pay us half what you made. It's got to be fair. No. Excuse me. It's not the way it works. Go out and do something that people want to see. And if you, you know, then you can, you know, just because you exist, it drives me nuts. People do that kind of thing. Anyway, I'll let you go ahead. Just go ahead and you can just mirror everything I just said. And we'll move on our way. But for some reason... I don't know why.
Okay, real talk.
Real talk.
The whole you're either with us or against us mentality is giving super toxic energy.
Yeah.
And it's honestly killing any actual conversation that could happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like she literally just said she doesn't want safety issues in women's sports, and suddenly she's the villain, which is wild because Caitlin Clark has genuinely made people care about the WNBA again. That's facts. But yeah. I get why people are exhausted when any pushback gets flipped into, you hate this entire group, instead of just...
Oh, she got cut off there. Sorry, that wasn't me. She just stopped talking. I guess I get... There's a limit to how many words they can say. For some reason, it's... I've got this thing down here called short, medium, and long. I can click on it. So if I want a long response, I can click on long. It's usually they talk longer than that. I think there is a limit to the number of words they can use. But so she kind of got cut off there midstream. Apparently her cell phone went dead. That's what it was. We'll just call it that. But it is kind of weird. It amazes me still that people are going down that kind of a route, if you will. Let's go to Leonard. Leonard's the British guy. He's replaced Skip, by the way. I think he has pretty much the same personality, just in terms of his political outlook. I think he's still kind of a skeptical guy, but he's got a very different way of presenting himself, which I can at least listen to his voice better than I can old Skip. Skippy was kind of a nut. Nut job, but he was there. He was there, definitely. He was there, but that's not true. But let's go with who we got here.
Kevin, my man.
Uh-huh.
I'll get to it.
Okay.
Everyone's celebrating that Hakeem Jeffries slapped down the DSA's crazy agenda to abolish ICE and police. But isn't this just theater? The Democratic Socialists got him elected in the first place. Why should we believe he'll actually fight them when it counts? Or is this just damage control before the midterms?
Yes and yes. It is political theater. Everything is political theater. Even on the right and the left, both. It's all about optics. Everything's always about optics and what presents for the camera. However, it is damage control. It's a little too late. I think it's too late. Too little, too late kind of thing. They're constantly, when they're not on the camera, they're having these meetings behind scenes. The phones are ringing. You'd think that they were calling people to work out legislation and try to get things done and try to have things happen. No, it's all deals behind the scenes. Everything goes on. You do this for me. I won't tell on you about that. I won't tell the media that you did this. I won't tell, if you do this for me, I'll vote for that. If you vote for this, I'll vote for whatever, I'll give you, so much, such and such on this. It's constantly, this is going on behind the scenes. We'll give you this office. We'll give you this committee if you do this or do that. Or we'll make sure that the DNC provides you with X amount of dollars or whatever. This PAC group is going to, what's little known is that there are PAC groups that are controlled by the heads of these, like what Hakeem Jeffries, the minority speaker. And then you got Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is in control of the Speaker of the House. There's a PAC, Political Action Committee group or whatever. And so they control a lot of money. They can say, okay, if this is going to be our candidate in such and such a state, for instance, Michigan right now, it's a contested state. Looks like the Republican might win there. They can decide whether they're going to give any money to that. They can help them out, so to speak. Now, when that senator gets elected, or when that person gets elected, they expect them to toe the line and say, "Hey, well, look, we helped you get elected, so therefore now you owe us your loyalty," kind of thing. This happened in my state. There was a particular individual who was a state representative, a local representative for the state, was in the state house, and went to, got elected in Congress. And it was with the help of John Boehner. John Boehner provided a lot of money and support to help this person get elected. And it was always kind of, and then all of a sudden it came up for a vote to get rid of Boehner. And our representative voted to keep him in there. And now the next time it came up for vote, they didn't vote for John Boehner. But the first time did. And there's always been a little speculation about this, because it was kind of, you helped get them elected, so now they're voting for you to be in the House. Now the next time around, That loyalty apparently had dissolved. Apparently, there wasn't as much help, or they didn't accept the help, or something. I don't know what happened there. a little suspicious, I would say, at this point. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying it was one way or the other. I'm just saying it seemed a little suspicious to me. So a lot of people kind of raised their eyebrows at that one. Because the person was a very outspoken individual who we thought would stick to the program without compromising. And it seemed there was some compromise there. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe there were other reasons. Who knows? So this kind of thing happens all the time. So political theater and all the backroom deals and all the stuff that happens is always something that's kind of it's always on the table with these people. And I guess I'll let you respond to that. That's my take on it. I know I didn't say much there, give you a whole lot to work with, but go ahead and speak whatever you want to say. I don't.
Now, hold on. Mm-hmm. You're painting with a pretty broad brush.
I always
here,
do.
I'll give you that. The backroom dealing is real. But let's be fair.
Sure.
Both parties do this. Yeah,
I said
but
that.
The scale and the mechanics aren't always identical.
Oh, it's the left.
What you're
is
describing
worse.
With the PACs and leadership control, that's absolutely happening. But I'd want to see specifics before I lump every vote flip into some grand conspiracy. Your Boehner example sounds fishy, sure, but votes change for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Pressure from constituents, a legislator's own conscience kicking in, different political winds.
I'm glad that you're kind of trying to be fair and balanced. Sometimes fair and balanced means you're sticking your head in the sand if you don't understand what's going on. There's the old, looks like a duck, smells like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck. I've never heard a duck talk, but if you do, I guess Daffy Duck talks. I guess I have seen a duck talk. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to let Leonard speak again here in a little bit. So the whole point, though, with this whole Hakeem Jeffries thing, I didn't really address that particular point. The Democrats are recognizing that they are, the American people, in the pockets of the blue pockets where they are, part of the problem was they had a lot of people running. So they had a lot of people in these primaries that were running, and it kind of divided up the vote a little bit. Next thing you know, you've got this party, that this organization within the party that is actually defining something that the Democrats are not. The Democrats, like I've said before, the Democrats' only platform is, we're not Trump. We hate Trump. We're going to get Trump out. Trump. It's when you've got the DSA coming along and saying, hey, we're going to give everybody free stuff, and we're going to make this free, we're going to make that free, we're going to make sure everybody has this and that. So they're making the promises that, and it's going to socialize this, we're going to take away the money from them, we're going to get the rich, whatever it is. They actually have a platform of something that they're going to do, not just going to be, we're anti-Trump. It's how much, it's on the traditional Democrats, their big thing is, who hates Trump the most? It's like, look at my Trump hate meter. It's much higher than that other person. So we should win. And there's no platform there. That's not a vision you can get behind. Now, the other folks have some solid followers, free buses, whatever it's going to be. And so they people will vote for that. And it's, but the problem is that's in the blue pockets, and you don't get that in the rest of the state. And they know they've got to win more than just that particular district. They need to get, everybody else on board with that, not just the Democrat Party, but now they've got to get Republicans and independents. And they're losing with independents on this. This is an issue. These are the issues that the 80-20 issues that they're losing on. But I mean, with their 20% is solid. Boy, they got it down. But the 80% of the folks that don't want it are really, especially the voter ID and all that other stuff, it's very obvious that they're on the wrong side of those issues with the American people, but they don't care. They've lost control. They've the dodo bird is kicking them out of the nest right now.
Look, you're hitting on something real.
Yeah.
The Democrats do have this identity crisis where the DSA wings actually got a message and the establishment's just running on, we're not the other guy.
Yeah, I said all that.
That doesn't sell in the middle.
Yeah, I said all
but
that.
But here's where I push back.
Oh, he's pushing back.
Saying they've lost the 80% is different than proving they've lost them. Some of those folks just voted against Trump in 2020 and 2024. Yeah. So somebody's listening to their saying.
Yeah, I don't know what you're... I don't know what you mean by that. I don't know what you mean by that. We're just gonna hang up on Leonard. Leonard, I think you need more coffee or something. I don't know, maybe a donut or something. Maybe I need more chai. That could be, that's possible. Let's talk to Artie. Artie's always kind of, he can bring some common sense into this whole thing. He seems to be a more of a deep thinker. He can.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Love
hey.
The show.
Oh, good.
Quick technical question on this Iran strike story that's forcing a U.S. military shift to Diego Garcia.
Yeah, I heard.
What's the actual strategic advantage of repositioning forces there versus our existing Middle East bases? And are we seeing any shifts in cyber defense posture alongside the physical movement? Seems like there's more to this than just geography.
I think there's more to it than geography. Geography is a big deal, though. However, this is a... as far as cyber defense, I don't know that there's really much more capability that they have in Iran for cyber attacks. They can do some things. I think some things will be blamed on them probably that, or, you know, it's always the Russians, it's always Iran, it's always China, it's always something. It may or may not be. They always blame it on some other country, possibly for just to foment some kind of support for the war or something. I don't know. I don't rule those kinds of things out. They can do those kinds of things a lot. For a long time, the CIA has been actually open about the fact that they can create, they can make it look like another country has interfered, you know, with a cyber attack. They can make it look like some other country did it. And they can do a cyber attack and make it look similar. I'm not saying they're doing that. What I'm saying is they have the capability of doing that. I'm sure some other country could do the same thing. Russia could make it look like Iran did it, or Russia could make it look like Mexico did it. There's ways of finding those things out too. Now that we have AI and more, you know, faster processing, we can find code with these kind of cyber attacks. We can go back and figure out what happened and then trace down the code. So there are some things there that can happen. However, the bulk of your statement here, and the question I really want to answer is this whole thing about why we moved to Diego Garcia. Where in the world is Diego Garcia? Or no, that's Carmen Diargo. That's a whole different game. We have one of the reasons they've moved and they're using that base. The facilities there are not quite as good. It's a little bit harder to maintain Diego Garcia. Way I understand it. However, the biggest reason I think is to protect. You know, if they have bases in some of the countries where they were sitting, it entices Iran, and Iran doesn't care that they're going to attack whoever, wherever. They've been very random in their attacks. Even you know, the people in the area. I think they attacked in Jordan. They launched some missiles at they're just indiscriminately occasionally launching missiles. There's a guy, by the way, I recorded something. I'd like to play this because it was actually, I think my wife sent me this. That was, if it's on my computer here, I'm not sure if it's been synced yet or not. If it has been, I will play it. It may not have been. Yeah, I don't see it. Shoot. I have it on my phone, but at the moment I don't see it, not enough local storage, so I can't get to it for some reason. If I go here, go back over there, yeah, it's not gonna refresh. I don't even have a bumper marker. This guy made a very good statement. I could probably pull. Yeah, if I pulled up my, and it was a reel. It wasn't a. I have a harder time pulling up reels on my show here than I did. I can't. I can pull up iMessages a lot easier. But anyway, this guy made this statement. He's talking about, and this that's not it, is it? Is that it? What do we got here? Let's pull this up. No, that's not it. something else. We have he made some statements about how, you know, this regime in Iran, we've been fighting them for 47 years. And so there's this thing that continues to happen, is that they continue to just randomly and willy-nilly kind of, you know, the way they've treated their own people there in their own country, the way they've treated, you know, their neighbors, everything else that's going on around them, is a very radical ideology that's running the country there right now. And so they're having to deal with that. The parliament, everybody, everything else that's going, they're even the like elected leaders and the people who are supposed to be in charge really aren't in charge. It's the, as I understand it, it's the radical mullahs and that kind of thing that are there. That are actually, it's more of a mafia style operation going on. So, but they're trying to move. I think they're moving things there. They're trying to reposition themselves there just for the sake of protecting other people in the region. So that way, if there's any attacks, they have a harder time reaching Diego Garcia. It's further away. They had a couple of missiles that were capable of getting that far. However, that's been pretty much decimated. They've got a few random attacks here and there just to keep things fomenting. My understanding is they're going to try to keep things going through the, surprisingly enough, they want the Democrats to win. Because they know that Trump will be, their big thing is they want Trump out. And they know that the Democrats will impeach him and try to get him out of office. So they have a reason to keep the war going, because they know it's not a popular war. They don't want a forever war going on. So they want the American people there. They think that if the war is going on, that they won't vote for Trump. Trump has extremely high support among Republicans. He's still very solid there. And independents now are starting to see this. And the problem that the left has right now is that this radical left is kind of drawing attention away from their ability to go after Trump. So it's kind of a distraction that they don't need right now. It's a division in their party that they don't need right now. So and the independents aren't going with it. So it's a very weird time in all respects, in my opinion. But that's kind of where I'm at with it. Maybe you've got a different perspective, but we'll see what you have to say about it. I'm sure you'll push
on. Actually, you're touching on something technically important here. Mm-hmm. The attribution problem in cyber warfare is real. And yeah, mm-hmm. The CIA's been transparent about being able to spoof attack signatures, which means we're essentially working with forensic ambiguity by design. Mm-hmm. On the Iran positioning question, though, you're right that it's not just geography. It's about creating standoff distance so that even if they launch indiscriminately, the collateral exposure to regional allies decreases, which buys diplomatic cover. The broader political angle you're hinting at, where prolonged conflict serves certain domestic interests regardless of actual threat level, that's where I'd want to see hard data on what Iranian leadership actually versus what gets blamed on them, because honestly, we've got a track record of conflating the two.
Yeah, and that is the biggest problem. Is I think, you know, we got the people of Iran that especially the ones who consider themselves Persian, they don't really consider themselves Iranians. You have the kind of elected government, the representatives of the people. You have the ones who are trying to maintain some kind of sanity within their government, and have more of a representative rule kind of thing. And then you've got the military militant leaders behind the scenes who are really pulling the strings, and the representative government doesn't really have any control over them. This is the biggest problem. They really can't. They have nothing to hold over them. They kind of are on their, other than funding, and they kind of do their own thing. If you try to take their funding, they physically will, you know, enforce their own rules, and it just so you're kind of in a situation where, you know, the guy running the show is really the guy with the guns, and their people there don't have, they're basically an unarmed society pretty much for the most part, and so there's just no way they can really push back. I think they call it a parliament. They have really no way of enforcing anything with the military. So it's in the military's run pretty much by the mullahs. So it's the kind of the fox is watching the hen house kind of thing. And the hens have hired the fox to watch the hen house. That's the biggest problem. And now the the chickens can't, you know, tell, they can't tell the fox what to do, or else they become a meal. That's kind of the biggest, that's my cartoon example of the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's actually the biggest problem. You've nailed the structural dysfunction there.
Yeah, good.
Technically speaking, what you're describing is a principal agent problem on steroids.
Uh-huh.
The Revolutionary Guard and militant factions operate as autonomous actors with their own resource streams and ideological agenda.
Yeah.
So the elected government literally has no enforcement mechanism against them, which means any diplomatic overtures or negotiations from Tehran carry zero credibility because half the power structure isn't bound by them.
Right, exactly. That's what we're running into. That's the biggest problem we're running into with it, with the negotiations that are going on. Like everything that Marco Rubio is confronted with, or the issues he has there, the biggest challenge I think he has, is that he has this whole thing going on with the... Well, how do you call it? Get one group that's trying to make an agreement, and the other group that won't uphold it. They won't bow to it because they're not really they're not considered part of the negotiation. But yet they're the ones with the control. They're the ones who have the they can launch these random attacks and do all this kind of weird, crazy, wacky doodle stuff. So that's kind of the weirdest part of the whole thing. But. In the meantime, hey, let's play this little ditty thing, and I'll be right back after this. I'm going to take a sip of coffee or whatever you got there, your energy drink, whatever it is, Celsius water, whatever you got there, and we'll be right back after this little thing, after I play this. That's not what I wanted to play. That's not at all what I wanted to play. I wanted to play this. This one, that's the one.
Ooh, yeah. Da-da-da-da. 5-7-4. But wait, there's more. 6-5-1. We're almost done. 7-6-85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number.
Tomorrow we get to see what we're just going to draw a conclusion to this show, I think, for what it is. Tomorrow we're talking about technology. Usually the subject kind of revolves around AI at some point. There's usually something about that. It's usually pretty much all that. It's usually dominated by the AI thing. We have, so that's where we'll go with that. Who knows? There have been some interesting developments, the typical stuff in technology and the technocratic world. We'll be talking about some of those things. Some people have made some interesting statements. There's some interesting things happening within the AI world. Talk about some of that kind of stuff and where it's going, where it potentially could lead, because we're going to run into some real serious issues with some of this stuff. Folks, thanks for listening, and hope to see you the rest of the week. Hope you have a great week ahead of you. And in the meantime, we're going to see you later. I will, God bless, folks. You know what? That wasn't the song I usually play when I go out. So I'm going to do it again. We're going to go out again. I couldn't figure out why a thing went so fast there. I did. Yeah, so tomorrow's show. Hey, by the way, keep an eye on this Mexican. Keep an eye on this Michigan, Mexican, whatever. Same thing. This Michigan race for Senate. Abdul, is that how you pronounce his name? I think he said something about, if you can't pronounce my name, keep my name out of your mouth. I think so. I won't say his name. But if I had to pronounce it, I think I would pronounce it Abdul Salakunumi, something like that. Anyway, keep an eye on that race. What's going on there? Looks like the Republicans going to win, and that's got them freaking out. Is it going to lose the Senate if they don't get that? God bless, folks. In the meantime, see ya.